We're holding on page Tesezayin in Psachim, about four or five lines from the end of the narrow lines, middle of Oslam Gimel. We started learning yesterday about, or 2 days ago rather, about Tfiyas HaMeisim, about if that the Tzaddikim L'Asid Lavi are going to have the power of Tfiyas HaMeisim. So that led us into a discussion about the life expectancy L'Asid Lavi, where you have that that Jews will live forever, whereas Goyim, the ones who are there to be V'Omdu Zorim V'Ro'od Tzanchem, are going to live much longer than they do now, but they're still subject to Misa eventually. So now more on that topic. About the about more on that topic about the contrast between Olam Hazeh and Yemos HaMashiach. Rav Chista pointed out a contradiction between two psukim. Siv b'chofra halavano uvoisha acham. One pasuk says that the moon will be embarrassed and the sun will be ashamed, implying, in other words, that they b'chlal won't shine because they won't shine b'chlal la'asid lavei. But another pasuk, we say in Kiddush Levana, says that the light of the moon will be like the light of the sun, and the light of the sun in La'asid Lavi will be Shivasayim, like the light of the 7 days, where Shivasayim on the surface means seven times, but really Shivasayim means seven times seven, and Ka'ur Shivasayamim means the equivalent of the amount of light that there was in the total 7 days of creation is going to be in one day. So it comes out to various other places. It explains that it means that the sun in the times of Mashiach is going to be 343 times as powerful as it is now, seven times seven times seven. Anyway, the point is that means that the moon and the sun will be shining, L'Asid Lavi, just that they'll be much brighter than they are now. Whereas the first pasuk, B'chofra Alavana, implies that they won't be shining at all. Now, on Poshet Pshat, the B'chofra Alavana of Chama means, Mephoshim explained over there, it means that those who worship the sun and moon are going to be embarrassed and ashamed that they did something so stupid. But on the face of it, the pasuk is saying that the sun and moon themselves. So, L'Kasha, Kan La'olam haba, Kan L'Moisa Mashiach. One is talking about Olam Haba, so B'chlal, there won't be the illumination from the sun and moon at all. There'll only be the light of the Shechinah. Whereas Yemos HaMashiach, then it's going to be then in Yemos HaMashiach, it's still a more gashmiistic world. So therefore, you're still going to have the sun, the physical sun and moon. They're just going to be much brighter than they are now. What about Shmuel de'Olam? By the way, I mean, the word Olam Haba has a few different meanings. Sometimes Olam Haba means the world, means Gan Eden, where neshamas go after 120. Here we're using it rather in the sense of the world after of the world after even Yemos HaMashiach. You have the famous machlokas of the Rambam and the Ramban about that, where the Rambam holds there's going to be Tchias HaMeisim, there's going to be Yemos HaMashiach. Eventually, even those people who came alive by Tchias HaMeisim and the people who are around in Mashiach's times will eventually die, and eventually then there'll be Olam Haba, a world of only neshamas. And then the Ramban disagrees with that and says that no, anybody who comes alive, but Tchias HaMeisim, is going to live forever, so their gufim are going to be in a non-physical world. And Chassidus agree, which is Olam Haba, and Chassidus agrees with that. So when there's a non-physical world, then already yet with the Gemara elsewhere talks about Chad Charuv, Trei Charuv, or whatever. So then there's no sun and moon b'chlal. In the period before that, when it's still a gashmiistic world with gashmiistic bodies, just everything is on a far higher level than before, then the sun and the moon will be far brighter than they are now. What about the Gemara says, what about, though, according to Shmuel's opinion, that he says that Yemos HaMashiach will be completely the same natural order as it is now, only that we won't be subjugated to the Goyish, to the Goyish kingdoms, to the Goyish powers. So according to him, my ikalameimar. So according to him, how do you reconcile the two psukim that the sun and the moon should be much brighter? Is not olam kamin hagenoyim. So the answer is idiva the olam haba. Then you can answer both of them are in olam haba, the world of some time after Mashiach comes. V'leikasha kan b'machne shechina kan b'machne tzaddikim. You have the camp of the shechina where gashmius is completely bottle, and therefore there's no sun and moon to talk about at all. Versus, yeah, machne tzaddikim, which is a level where there are after all nivroim, and therefore so there the sun and the moon will be much brighter. But both of them in Olam Haba, so in other words, Shmuel is making the distinction between Yemos HaMashiach versus Olam Haba, again, which we just said everybody agrees that there is such a distinction. So Shmuel is saying like this, those who disagree with Shmuel are saying that even Yemos HaMashiach, there will be a change in the natural order, and then you most, and then Olam Haba, there's no gashmiistic world at all, and only like the Ramban says there can be gashmiistic bodies in it. And meanwhile, Shmuel is saying that Moshe Mashiach is b'chalal olam k'minhag yanoig. There's no changes in nature at all. There's an enormous amount of discussion about this. We talked about it before in this shiur. There's many sichas on the topic. There's many other things from different Goli Yisrael throughout the generations to reconcile the two of them. And even Shmuel agrees that there's going to be certain changes in Teva, in Yemos Mashiach, because after all, you have some people are going to have Tchias HaMesim before the general run of people and so forth. Okay, more about Tchias HaMesim. Rava pointed out a contradiction between two halves of a pasuk in this week's parasha. The pasuk says, Hashem says, I kill and I bring to life. And then it says, I wound and I heal. So the question is, if Hashem can even bring life, how much more so that Hashem can heal? So why does it even need to mention Mochatzdi Vani Erpa? This Gemara is also in Sanhedrin. The Gemara there presents the question a little bit different. Ani Omis V'Achaya implies that Hashem brings people back to life, but it implies that they're still wounded with whatever illnesses and whatever physical handicaps and whatever they had at the beginning. And Machatz Divani Erpo suggests that Hashem is going to heal them. So how do you reconcile? Ela Omar Akash Baruch Hu Keshem Shemachatz Divani Erpo Kach Shani Meimus Ani Machaya. The same one that I wound is afterwards the one that I heal, because how can you have healing if there's no wound first? The same way, the one that I kill is the one that I bring alive, meaning, in other words, here we have a point of Tchias HaMesim in the Torah. This is what the Gemara brings in Sanhedrin. Yeah, where it says, if a person thinks that in Tchias HaMesim in a Torah, then he's denying a fundamental concept of Torah. So one of the proofs that it brings over there, and now it's mentioning it over here also, is this pasuk that Machatz Divani Erpa, Hashem is saying, the same one that I wound, I heal. And the same way, we need to understand, Ani Omis V'Achaya doesn't mean Hashem is saying, I kill some people, and then I bring into life other people. It means the same people. So therefore, that's Tchias HaMesim. So we learn in a braisa. When it says Ani Omis V'Achaya Yochol Misa Be'Echad B'Chayim Ba'Achav K'derech She'olam Noyig, you would think all that means is some people are born, some people are died, just like the world regularly goes. No, Talmud by Machatz Divani Erpa. Therefore, the pasuk continues: I wound and I heal. Ma Mako Refuah Be'Echad. So the same thing as Rava was saying, just like the wounding and the healing take place with the same person. After b'chayim u'misa, u'misa b'chayim be'echad, the same way the death and the life are with the same person. Mikan shuva la'omim in tchias hamesim in a Torah. There is a solid proof against those who would claim that tchias hamesim is not found in the Torah, because here you have a pasuk that very clearly hints at that very clearly, practically comes out and says the concept of tchias hamesim. Dover Acher, another explanation, but Tchila Mashani Memes Ani Mechaya, it goes that first the one that I kill, I bring alive, Vahodr Mash Machatz Divani Erpa, then afterwards, the one that I wounded, I heal, meaning, as the Gemara says there in Sanhedrin, Oimdim Mumun Mesrapin, first the people will rise up by Tchias HaMesim, still with the same physical handicaps and defects that they had when they were alive, and then Hashem is going to heal them. First of all, obviously, that makes the Ness all the greater, and second of all, Marashah says, that way people will be able to recognize them. Sometimes you have a person that you recognize him more by his handicap than anything else. So like this, you'll know it's the same person, and then you'll realize that Hashem healed them as well. Okay. Further on now, so in the Mishnah, the Mishnah had talked about what things for the Korban Pesach can and can't you do on Shabbos. So we said the shechting of it you can do on Shabbos. That was the whole debate between B'nai B'Seira and Hillel. And then you have various other things that have to be done on Shabbos. We mentioned Michui Krovov, which is what got us into this whole discussion about Tzaddikim and Rishoyim and Tchias HaMesim and all that. On the other hand, the Mishnah says then you have other things that could have been done before Shabbos, which you can't break Shabbos to do them, even though they're also only Derabbanan. If you didn't do them before Shabbos, then you can't do them at all, and you can't bring the Korban Pesach. For example, it mentions in the Mishnah, let's say, for example, if you're outside the Tchum, you can't walk into the Tchum and bring the animal to bring the Korban Pesach. If the animal is weak or whatever, you can't carry it on your shoulder. Different things like that. So now in the Mishnah, Rabbi Eliezer goes on to argue this point first with Rabbi Yeshua and then with Rabbi Akiva. Rebbe Eliezer argues that no, machshirei mitzvah, that when you have a mitzvah that itself is doicha Shabbos, then the prerequisites for that mitzvah should also be doicha Shabbos, even if they could have been done before Shabbos. We learned about that in Masechta Shabbos, for example, as far as bris milah, that Rebbe Eliezer holds you can actually manufacture a knife on Shabbos if necessary for bris milah. So in the same way, he argues over here that all these things can also be done on Shabbos. So Rabbi Yeshua argues with him, and he says, actually, so he says in the Mishnah, kavu chom, madach, we're overriding things that are daraisa, how much more so we should override things that are derabanan. So Rabbi Yeshua answers him, consider yomtiv. Yomtiv, you have malachas oichol nefesh is mutter. So there you have things that are that are considered malachas daraisa, like cooking, and yet you're allowed to do them on yomtiv. And still you have various derabanans that you're not allowed to do on yomtiv. So you see that you can have daraisas can be mutter and derabanans not. And Rabbi Eliezer answers back in the Mishnah. He says, Yeshua, what are you talking about? There's a big difference between reshus and a mitzvah. Eating and drinking and feasting on Yom Tov is a reshus. So therefore, you could say that, yes, the dinim derabanan apply. The Korban Pesach is a mitzvah. So therefore, you have to be able to override even dinim both daraisa and derabanan. Now, so what is Rabbi Eliezer? So Rabbi Yeshua answers to that. Is he's going to say over here that so the Gemara says right before the piece that it's going to bring over here that Rabbi Yeshua disagrees with Rabbi Eliezer's premise. Rabbi Eliezer's premise is that eating and drinking on Yom Tov is a reshus. Rabbi Yeshua's premise is no, that it's a choiva. So therefore, you can. It is a valid argument then to say that if you still see for the choiva of eating on Yom Tov, you can't break the rabbanans in the same way for the choiva of bringing the korban pesach. So Tanya Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Ein la odim bi Yom Tov ela oy oichol b'shoisa oy yoshev b'shoina. A person on Yom Tov, he shouldn't be splitting up his day. He has to enjoy Yom Tov, but either he eats and drinks the whole day, or he sits and learns Torah the whole day. There's no dividing it up. Now, it doesn't mean, of course, that he's going to fast on Yom Tov, but it means he should be fartifing zich in learning, and he wouldn't even think of it. On the other hand, Rabbi Yeshua ima chalkeu. Rabbi Yeshua says you have to divide up the day. Half the day, maybe not necessarily literally 50%, but part of the day for eating and drinking, and part for the Beis Medrash. They're actually both darshaning based on the same pasuk. First, you have a pasuk that says, as far as Shvi Shal Pesach, it says that is atzeres laHashem alekecha, it's a day of stopping work for Hashem. Then you have a different pasuk that says, as far as Shmini Atzeres, that it should be a stoppage of work for you. So, what is it? Is it for Hashem or is it for you? Now, what Marushal says, I mean, we're talking about two different Yom Tovim, but the Gemara is assuming there's no reason to distinguish between the different Yom Tovim. We're not going to say that Shvi Shal Pesach is entirely Lashem and Shmini Atzeres is entirely Lachem. So it must mean that there must mean, says, so what does it mean? Rabbi Eliezer Sava, Oy Kula Lashem, Oy Kula Lachem. It means that each Yom Tov is either entirely for Hashem, davening and learning, or entirely for you, eating and drinking. There's no dividing it up. Rabbi Yeshua Sava Chalkei. Rabbi Yeshua says you have to be able to accomplish what both psukim say. So therefore, half is devoted to Hashem by learning Torah, and the other half is devoted to yourself to eating and drinking.
Both say the same thing.
No, because Rabbi Yeshua is saying, Rabbi Eliezer is saying it's one or the other. Ela oy, either the whole day he's learning Torah or the whole day he's eating and drinking. According to Rabbi Eliezer, if you were to eat part of the day and learn Torah part of the day, then you haven't really accomplished the mitzvah of Simchas Yom Tov. It's either or. Whereas Rabbi Yeshua is saying it has to be both. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Eliezer, Hakol Moedim Ba'atzeres to be in a Nami Lachem. Everybody, even Rabbi Eliezer, agrees when it comes now. Here, Atzeres means Shavuos. You have in Loshon Torah Lachod, Loshon Chachamim Lachod. In Torah terminology, Atzeres can mean any of the Yom Tovim, like we just said, Atzeres is used of Shvi Shal Pesach and of Shmini Atzeres. In Gemara terminology, Atzeres means Shavuos. So when it comes to Atzeres, when it comes to Shavuos, even Rabbi Eliezer agrees that in a Nami Lachem, you also need a Lachem component of the day. It's not enough to just learn Torah the whole day. My time a Yom Shemitah by Torah Hu, because it's the day that the Torah was given. So therefore, so Rashi explains, you need to eat and drink on it in order to demonstrate that you're happy that we received the Torah. And Tosfos points out that even Rabbi Eliezer is not learning it from a pasuk. He says from Svara, based on the Svara of Yom Shinitna by Torah, therefore he wouldn't use it, therefore you can't use it to slog up his Kavachoyma, because he was using a Kavachoyma based on what it says in Psukim about what can be done with the Kavachoyma Pesach versus Yom Tov. But here we're talking about something much smarter, then that doesn't really factor into it. So Rashi's point is that he has to demonstrate the Torah, that he's happy to have received the Torah. There's a lot of places where the Rebbe Torah, in particular, there's a sicha, I think, in Chelik Yud Aleph, in Chelik Chof Gimel, I think, where the Rebbe talks about the idea, because after all, the Torah was given to us as Neshamas Begufim. You have the whole point where the Malachim argued the Torah should stay in Shemayim, and Moshe had to prove to them the Torah belongs here on earth. So therefore, on the Yom Tov of Shavuos, we have to combine together Gashmias and Ruchnias by eating and drinking and doing it L'Kavod Yom Tov. So even Rebbe Eliezer is going to agree to that. Ben Yehoyada makes another interesting point as well. He says, basically, Esav owns Olam Hazeh and Yaakov owns Olam Haba. So how do we, so therefore, on Simchas Torah, we have to demonstrate, because the Torah was given, we have to demonstrate that we have a share in Olam Hazeh as well. The Esav shouldn't be able to claim, oh, you stole it, you only deserve Olam Haba. No, we have to demonstrate that there's a certain degree of Olam Hazeh that belongs to us also. Okay. Similarly, Omer Rabba Hakol Modim B'Shabbos to be in Nami Lachem. Also, everybody would agree when it comes to Shabbos that you need also a Lachem part, that you have to eat and drink as well. My time of Karosel Shabbos owning, because the Pasuk says you should call Shabbos a delight. So therefore, and that means by eating primarily. So now Marsha says, okay, where do you see that you need the Lachem part? What do you see you need the Lachem part on Shavuos and on Shabbos? Where do you see you need it, the Lachem part? Marsha says, look, every day of the year you need a Lachem part. You certainly can't have any day of the year that is exclusively Lachem. So there's no question, by default, you have to have a Lachem. The question is whether you have to have a Lachem, and on Shavuos and on Shabbos, definitely you need to. And Omer Rav Yosef HaKol Moedim HaPurim Debein Nami Lachem. Similarly, Rav Yosef says, Purim is the same way. My time of your main Mishta V'Simcha Ksiv Day. Because after all, it says they have to be days of feasting and happiness, and that again means that you're going to be eating and drinking. Now, Marsha points out that it's not so much the fact that it says the word simcha, because the word simcha, it says by other Yom Tovim as well, and yet Rabbi Eliezer was saying that you could learn Torah the whole day. It's rather the fact that it says mishke v'simcha. So the Gemara tells, Ma'abredi Ravina would fast at many different times during the year, levarme atzauta upuya umala yomid kippuri, with the exception of Shavuos and Purim and Erev Yom Kippur. In the footnote over here, there's a footnote over here that brings from the Magen Avraham, who in turn brings from the Maharil, that what we mean is that we don't just mean Stam, he was fasting at random throughout the year. What we mean is if you had to fast a Tainus Cholim, if a person has a disturbing dream, then there's an Inyan that he should fast the next day, and if the next day was any other day during the year than these three, then he would fast, but not these three, as we're going to explain why. And this is brought in Shulchan Aruch, that in fact, you're not allowed to fast the Tainus Cholim on these days. Again, Aseres is Yom Shenitna by Torah. Shavuos is special because it was the day the Torah was given, and again, we have to demonstrate that we're happy to have received the Torah. Puria, Yemei Mishta V'Simcha Ktziv. Purim, again, it says that Yemei Mishta V'Simcha, so you can't override that with your personal tainus. As far as Maile Yom Yom Kippuri, why on Erev Yom Kippur would Maile B'Reidi Ravina not fast, is D'Toni Chir Barav Midifti. He taught a braisa like this. The Pasuk says, "V'inisim asnaf sheseichem v'sisha l'chodesh." You should afflict your souls on the ninth of the month. You don't fast on the ninth of Tishrei. You fast on the tenth of Tishrei. Ela lo malach. Therefore, by mentioning the ninth, the Pasuk wants to imply kola oichal v'shoyse v'tisha boy. Anybody who eats and drinks on the ninth of Tishrei, malo al bakosav kila misanet shiva shiri. Hashem counts it to his credit as though he fasted on the ninth and tenth. So, in other words, therefore, so the Pasuk in effect is saying that the Pasuk in effect is saying that if you eat on the ninth, I'm counting it, Hashem says, as though v'inisim asnaf sheseichem, as though you afflicted yourselves. Now, Marsha says, so why are we phrasing it that way? The point is, first of all, why does Hashem tell us to eat on the ninth? Is because Hashem loves us and wants us to not have a difficult time with the fast. You have the famous story that the Torah brings from a medrash of a tailor, the famous story with the tailor and the fish that he bought, where he wants to buy a fish for the Erev Yom Kippur meal. And meanwhile, there's a Roman nobleman had sent his servant over there to buy it, and they end up trying to outbid each other, and eventually buys it for 12 gold dinar, which is all his savings. And the nobleman afterwards calls him in afterwards and tells him how he's talking. And then the Yid explains to him the whole concept of that Hashem loves us and the concept of Yom Kippur. And the guy tells him, go gzunt hate, and he comes home, cuts open the fish, and finds a big diamond in there. So that's the story in a nutshell. But therefore, so we see from that. So that's an example of this concept. So now, therefore, on the other hand, the point is, in other words, why are we eating on Erev Yom Kippur in order to be able to fast? Therefore, that's why Chiya Barav Medifti's Braisa is phrasing it in that term, that when we eat and drink on the ninth, Hashem counts it as though we fasted on the tenth, because the eating is being done not just to fill ourselves up, but in order to be able to fast. Also, Marsha says another point as well. After all, which mitzvah would a person get more schar for the fasting? It's harder for him. A person will get a schar for the mitzvah of eating, but on the face of it, maybe not as much, because after all, at least he's enjoying himself. But what Hashem is doing is Hashem is giving the person as much credit and as much schar for the eating as he does for the fasting. So that's why the Gemara phrases it. That's another reason the Gemara phrases it that way. So therefore, again, Ma'abrei the Ravina would not fast on Erev Yom Kippur, even if there was a tiny skolim, for that reason. A note appended here in Rashi, it actually comes from Tosfos, says that actually now you have two different opinions about Tosfos Yom HaKippurim. There is a concept that you start the fasting and the Isur Malacha and everything else of Yom Kippur a little bit early and you end it a little bit late. Is that concept Daraisa or not? One way of looking at it is Daraisa, and we learn it from these words, B'sisha L'chodesh Ba'erev. That to be nisim et nafshei seichem b'sishal chodesh b'erev, you're already starting to afflict yourself when it's still the ninth, before the tenth has actually started yet. On the other hand, if we say that the concept of Tosfos Yom HaKippurim is only derabanan, then we would use the pasuk like we're saying over here in the Gemara, that it teaches us that the eating and drinking on the ninth is counted by Hashem as the equivalent of fasting on the tenth, of fasting on the ninth and the tenth. Okay. Another point also, Mephoshim say, another reason why Hashem gives so much credit for the eating on Erev Yom Kippur, in connection with the Ma'amodos, which is actually today's Shlosh Parakim of Rambam, discusses the Ma'amodos. So you had the Anshei Maimed, you had the people, representatives of the whole Jewish people, who would stand there. They would represent the Jewish people when the Korbanos Tzibur are being brought, because the whole Tzibur can't be there. They had special fasts, they had special tefillahs and special Kriyas HaTorah that they had each one during their week of Maimed. And the Gemara mentions, and the Rambam brings, that they would fast Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of their week of Maimed, but not Sunday, Friday, or Shabbos. Shabbos, obviously, not from Shabbos. Friday, because they're busy preparing for Shabbos. And Sunday, why not? Is so they don't go from the Tainuk of Shabbos straight into the Inui of Sunday, because that would be very hard on them. So now, when a person does that, Erev Yom Kippur and Yom Kippur, he's eating and drinking and then stuffing himself on Erev Yom Kippur, and then he's right away going into a fast. It makes it much harder on a person, and therefore Hashem gives a special schar for that. Okay, further on this topic of the special celebration of Shavuos that we said, nami lachem, because you have to celebrate the Torah was given. So Rabbi Yosef, or Omar, Abdulay Eglatilsa. He on Shavuos, Abdulay means they would make on their own. Omar of Abdulay would mean he would tell his B'nai Bayis, make for me, prepare for me, Eglatilsa. A tilsa calf. In various places in Shas, Rashi and Tosfos discuss what tilsa means. Here, Rashi says that it means that it was the third born from its mother, which is the best, because like the first two, the mother doesn't really have her full strength yet. Different other places, there's explanations that it means that it's one third of its growth. Another point is also that the word tilsa is like the word shalish in Hebrew, which means very important and distinguished, like the shalishim al kulay. Whatever the case, it means, in other words, a very high quality M. Omar, which Marsha says there is also a remez in it, though, we have in connection with Matan Torah, that it was B'yoma Tlisoi, B'yarcha Tlisoi, Yaudei Tlisoi, there's a whole bunch of threes in connection with Matan Torah, therefore that was another remez why the Egla Tilsa. Anyway, Omar, he would say, Elav Hayyoma de Kagorim, if it weren't for this day of Matan Torah that causes the greatness, that causes me to become elevated over everybody else, Kama Yosef Ika Beshuka, think of how many other Yosefs there are in the marketplace. In other words, I'd be nothing special only because it's the day the Torah was given. Am I something special? Am I higher than the regular run of people? And therefore, that's something to celebrate. Now, there's a Sikha in Chelek Yud Aleph where the Rebbe analyzes this in a little more detail, in a lot more detail, actually. why Dafka Rabbi Yosef, and what does he mean by mentioning there are Yosefs in the marketplace and so forth. And he explains that there's the whole idea of Matan Torah is to be able to connect there, Yonim Betachtonim, which he didn't have before that. And therefore he's saying, Hai Yom Dekagorim, this day makes it possible to do that. And therefore for the Gashmias of the world and the Gashmias of my body to be elevated. And if it weren't for that, then I would just be another Yosef in the Shuk, meaning the whole world would just be a Shuk that has no connection with Alakus. And this way with Matan Torah, that makes it possible to transform that Shuk into something else. He says, actually, that's why Yosef, I'm able to add that now the Shuk, that now the outside Gashmi sticker world is able to become something greater. He was a Saginar as well. Yeah, there's always a point about that as well, that I think that ever makes that point in that Sikha as well. Another reason why, so what before Rabbi Yosef, nobody realized this concept is because Rabbi Yosef is one who points out, he points it out in Gemara Kedushin and in Bava Kamma. First, he says, at first I thought, then there's an opinion of Rabbi Yehuda in a Gemara in Bava Kamma that says that a blind person is potter from all the mitzvahs, and he learns it from a pasuk. So is the halacha like him or not? Rabbi Yosef says in that Gemara in Bava Kamma and also in Kedushin, was a few days ago in Daf Yomi, he says, first, I used to think that if anybody tells me that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, I would be very happy and I would make a yom tov to celebrate, because then I'd think I have the mila that I'm not commanded to do the mitzvahs and I do them anyway. Then he says, afterwards, I realized, God Allah Mitzvah V'Oseh, Yosef Misha, and Mitzvah V'Oseh, Adrab, and now if I find out the halacha is definitively like the Chachamim, that a blind person is Chayiv in mitzvahs, then I'll be all the happier. So therefore, sort of Yosef is like the one who first discovered and expressed that concept of the importance of being Mitzvah V'Oseh, and therefore he's also the one who points out the greatness of the Torah, that it makes us Mitzvah V'Oseh, it makes us that now Elikos is able to be brought down and penetrate the world and transform it and so forth, which he didn't have before Matan Torah.
Accomplished so much as the Messiah, the Lord, all the
most of the people that you have. Also true, yeah. Okay. The Gemara continues, Rav Sheshes called Tlosin Yomin Mahadulai Talmudei. Rav Sheshes, every 30 days, would review all of his learning. During the rest of the time, he's busy. He's busy developing new concepts and all the learning. Every 30 days, he would take the time to review everything he had learned so far. V'toli v'koi v'ibra d'dosha, and then he would stand leaning against. Toli doesn't mean hanging; it means he would be leaning against the bolt of the door. Omar, and he would say, "Chadoi nafshoi, chadoi nafshoi. Be happy, my soul. Be happy, my soul. Loch karoi, loch tanoi." For you, I've learned Tanakh. For you, I've learned Mishnayos. For your sake, for the sake of my neshama. So the Gemara asks, Aini, is that so? A person accomplishes in Torah only for himself? If it weren't for the Torah, the whole heaven and earth wouldn't continue to exist. Hashem says, if it weren't for my bris of day and night, which refers to the Torah, because I wouldn't have set up the laws of heaven and earth. So therefore, so there's much more than nafshoi that benefits from Rav Sheshes's Torah. The answer is fine, but me'ikra ki obid inesh adaita denafsha obid, fine, but when a person first starts learning Torah, he does it primarily in order to benefit his own neshama. And why, so Maharsha says, first of all, why the twice chadoi nafshoi is, he said, a person has three neshamas. Now in Tanya, we talk about a person has two neshamas, a nefesh elikis and a nefesh abamas, but there are some places where it talks about, and then Maharsha mentions it also, that there's also a nefesh asichlis. There's also an intellectual soul, which is kind of the go-between the nefesh elikis and the nefesh abamas. So here, the Nefesh Bahamas, or Maharsha calls it here, the Nefesh Ativis, doesn't really have much to do with the Torah. It's the Nefesh Elikis and the Nefesh Asichlis that do. Therefore, those are the ones that he's saying, Chadoi Nafshoi, Chadoi Nafshoi, you're the ones who are benefiting. Now, there are a number of places in Chassidus where it talks about, first of all, Rav Sheshes was a Gilgal of Bava ben Buta. It's brought in Sefer HaGilgulim. He was a Gilgal of Bava ben Buta. They have this in common. They were both blind. Rav Sheshes was blind, and Bava ben Buta was blinded by Hurdus. It's pointed out also that Bava ba'atbash is Sheshes. The bezes transform into shins, and the aleph into a tuff. So he's a Gilgal of his. So he's saying, my goof is not really benefiting so much from the Torah that I'm learning. It's my neshama that I'm finishing up whatever Bava ben Buta didn't accomplish the first time around. Therefore, he's primarily saying it's my neshama that benefits from it. That's why he's saying the expression chadoi nafshoi. Then it also talks about, so what does it mean, this line over here, that the key of it in a shadaita de nafsha of it. So first of all, I mean, the whole idea is that the Rebbe mentions at the end of Perek Lamed Zayin of Tanya, a person brings down a course into his neshama when he's learning Torah. That's the chadori nafshoi, that his neshama is able to be happy with the Torah that's being brought down milamayla into it. But what's this adaita de nafsha of it? So in other places, in other Maimar Chassidus, it talks about the idea that a person does it in order to begin with, in order to connect his das with the Eibishter's das. That's adaita de nafsha of it. Afterwards, it ends up having a more greater effect on the world at large. But it starts out first affecting his neshama, and specifically the faculty of das in his neshama. Okay. Further on in the perek, so it talks about a case. Again, most of the perek is talking about dinim of bringing the korban pesach on Shabbos. So you have various cases where a person shechted the korban pesach on Shabbos, and it turns out he shouldn't have done that. For example, he shechted a different animal, thinking a different korban, thinking it was the korban pesach. For example, it was a balmum. You have different examples like that. Is he chayav chatos for breaking Shabbos? So the Gemara gets into a whole long sugya about the subject. And then talking about other cases where a person thinks he's doing a mitzvah and ends up in the course of it also doing an aveira. An example is where he has relations with his yivama, where he's being mekayim the mitzvah of yivam, but she's a nida at the same time. So Rabbi Yochanan says over there that he wouldn't be chayiv chatas. And so the Gemara discusses, where does he get that from? And eventually the Gemara says he gets it from a din that Rabbi Yeshua says in connection with eating truma, where a person ate truma and then discovered that he was a cholol, then nevertheless, though, he's still not chayiv to pay keren b'chomish for it because he thought he was a kohen. And then so the Gemara discusses that whole point. Anyway, so now that leads the Gemara into mentioning the point that, so it mentions over there that a cholol, b'dievet, does the avodah in the Beis Mikdash. B'dievet, it's kosher, based on a pasuk in Moshe's bracha to Shevet Levi. He says, Boruch Hashem cheloi. So we learn from that even chulin shaboy, even the chalolim, if they do the avodah, b'dievet, it's kosher. So the Gemara mentions, and truma is in the same category, because eating truma is avodah. So that brings us to the story over here. Tanya, Maisa Reb Tarfon Shaloi Bar Emesh LeBeis HaMedrash. It happened one evening that Reb Tarfon did not come to the Beis HaMedrash. L'Shachris Motzei Reb Gamliel. The next morning, Reb Gamliel met up with him. Omalei Mipnei Malei Bosa Emesh LeBeis HaMedrash. Why didn't you come to the Beis HaMedrash last night? Omalei Avoida Avadi. So Reb Tarfon says, I was doing Avoida. Omalei, Reb Gamliel says, Kol Dvarecha Inen Ela Divrei Tema. Everything you're saying is very strange and very hard to understand. Where is the avoda nowadays? It was after the Beis Mikdash was destroyed. There was no avoda. So what do you mean you were doing avoda? And Ben Yehoyada says on top of that, Rav Gamliel is also saying, but also you're saying you did avoda last night. There's no avoda by night. All avoda, so it's supposed to be done by day. Amalei, instead of Typhon, says, Harehu Omer. Yeah, I can tell you I did do an avoda. After all, the Pasuk says, Avodas matona etenis kunaschem. Hashem says to the Kohen, to Aaron, to the Kohenim, I will give your kahuna as an avoda of a gift, meaning the matnas kahuna are given to you like an avoda. Also, akos v'achilas truma begvulim kavodas v'smikdash. Therefore, the pasuk makes eating truma outside in the borders, meaning in the rest of the borders of Eretz Yisrael, on a par with the avoda and the v'smikdash. And therefore, yes, I can say that I actually did avoda last night. Which, I mean, you have to ask Balabatish, so why did that prevent him from coming to the Beis Medrash the whole night? I mean, fine, so he eats his truma and then he comes. You have to realize Reb Tarfon was an Oshir, he was rich, he had a lot of Bnei Bayis, he had a lot of Avodim or whatever, so you have to make sure all of them are Tahir, he has to make sure the truma has been kept Batara, so there's a lot of details that need to be taken care of to make sure everything is good in order for them to be able to sit and have a Suda of truma. So the perek first starts talking about the dinim of roasting the korban pesach. One din we know about that is it has to be roasted, has to be tzli eish. And so the Mishnah talks about various cases where you have where part of it gets roasted by something else. For example, it touches the surface of the oven. So now that part has gotten roasted by the heat of the oven, rather of the wall of the oven, rather than the fire, and therefore you have to cut off that part. So the Gemara gets into a whole discussion about is it true that Eish necessarily has to mean an actual open fire? Can't it mean other things? Can it mean, for example, a hot piece of metal or whatever? And the Gemara goes into a whole discussion about that. And so now it says, "V'kacholim shal matzis lab Eishu." So you're telling me that coals of metal, meaning a red hot piece of metal, lab Eishu, that wouldn't be considered fire in halacha? Consider the case of a Bas Koyin who was Mizana. And the Torah says she has to be burnt with fire. And Ramasna says, how would they do it? They would melt down lead. Psila means a wick. So they had like a long, thin piece of lead that they would melt down and pour it down the person's throat, who's chayiv sreifa. So that's hot metal. And you see that the Torah calls that ba'ish tisarif. The answer is shiny hosam da'amakra ba'ish tisarif. The answer is because there the pasuk doesn't just say ba'ish, it says tisarif. And the word tisarif, the rabbis call sreifas abois mina ish. So it comes to include all other kind of burnings that are accomplished with something that was heated by fire. Meaning, Rashi says it didn't have to say the word tisarif at all. It could have said ba'ish, and that would be good enough. We'd understand. In fire, what are you going to do? In fire, obviously, it means you burn her. Tosfa says the vote is it didn't have to say tisarif. It could have said ba'ish tomus. So therefore, tisarif means you can use anything, you can use other kinds of things as long as they're heated up by fire. But the Gemara asks, okay, but v'cholshken eish atzma, fine, but fire itself is certainly fire. So then why are we saying you have to go the long way around, you don't use fire, instead you use hot lead because you have the ribuy of tisarif. Instead, v'nakif lochav leiz murders for nikla. Why don't we just surround her with piles of branches and burn her in a regular fire? The answer is you can't. Ask your sreifa sreifa m'mnei aron. We learn a Gzeira Shabbat. What is the definition of Srefa? As a Misa Spacedin, we learn from Bnei Aaron, from Nadav and Abihu. Malahalan, Srefas Neshama, the Guf Kayim. Afkan, Srefas Neshama, the Guf Kayim. Just like over there, their Neshamas were burnt, not their Neshamas, but in other words, they were burnt on the inside. Fire went into their nostrils and burnt them from the inside out, and their bodies remained intact. Afkan, Srefas Neshama, the Guf Kayim. The same way, by Srefa, it has to be that the body remains intact. If you burn her in fire, it doesn't. So the question is, why don't we instead use boiling water? Now that could either mean to make her swallow boiling water, or it could mean to boil her in boiling water, dunk her into boiling water. The answer is you can't. Mishum did Abnachman, the Amr Abnachman, Omakrov, Ahaftabarech Kamecha, Brola Misa Yafa. One part of Ahaftabarech Kamecha, even the person who has to be executed by Beis Din, you have to have Abbas Yisrael for him, and that means you have to choose for him the easiest possible death within the guidelines that the Torah is saying. So if you have a choice between what you're going to do within Srefa, given that it has to be the Guf Kayim, and fine, boiling water, whether swallowing it or whether being boiled alive in it, would leave the body intact, but it's not Misa Yafa. It takes a long time for a person to die from that with tremendous Yisurim, as opposed to swallowing the hot lead is more or less instantaneous. So therefore, that would be the Misa Yafa, and therefore necessarily it has to be that way. Okay. Yom Yom Mashiach Gola, Vav Tishrei. It being the Yotzeit of Rebbe Tzinchana, so the Geula from Mitzrayim, as we know, was B'schar Noshim Tzidkoniyas Shebedur. Now the Geula was also for the sake of Matan Torah. Hashem tells Moshe, Bo'itziach Hasam Mitzrayim, and take the people out of Mitzrayim. You're going to serve Hashem on this mountain. Because of that, we find the women went first by Matan Torah. Kosem Leves Yaakov, that Hashem tells Moshe to first speak to the women, and the Sagin of Israel, and only then to the men. Now by the Geula Asida, it's going to be the same kind of thing as well, because that Geula is also going to be in the S'chus of Noshim Tzidkoniyas, and therefore they're going to be the first ones to be receiving the Torah Chadoshim Eti Tetzeh. Halacha, continuing with halachas of Shabbos. So we learned about the importance of Shabbos. It's considered equal to the whole rest of the Torah. A person of Machal Shabbos for Fahesi is considered for many purposes like an Ovid Avodah Zarah. So now the Navi says, Ashrei Enosh Yaseh Zois, happy is the person who does this, Oven Adam Yachzik Bo, and the person who holds on to it. Shomer Shabbos Mechal Leigem. Why does he single out Shabbos? Because we're seeing how important it is. And if a person keeps Shabbos, kill Chosei, and respects it, and enjoys it as much as possible, as we just learned in the Gemara, that a whole moedim that on Shabbos you need lachem, then the Novi also says he has the schar in this world, beside the tremendous schar that he has l'olam haba, as he goes on to say, it's an aftorah that we're going to hear on Yom Kippur. In Toshiv b'Shabbos aglacha, asos chavatzecha b'yom kodshi, v'karosel l'Shabbos anu v'desh Hashem achubad, etc. Oz tis'ana gal Hashem, then you will enjoy the presence of Hashem, v'yikavticha abom asei oratz, Hashem will make you wide on the high places of the earth. I'll give you to eat the inheritance of Yaakov, which is the Nachal of the Mitzarim. Keep Hashem deeper, because the mouth of Hashem has spoken. So that's the schar that a person gets for honoring Shabbos in this world, aside from the schar of the Olam Haba.